The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Craig Burley and Stevie Nicol. We kick things off with the German Super Cup today with Bayern Munich taking on Borussia Dortmund. Great game this, of course, that would see Bayern Munich win by 3-1. Lewandowski would open the scoring with a bullet header. Müller then scoring just after the break to make it 2-0. Royce with a beautiful finish to make it 2-1. But then a mix-up at the back. Lewandowski makes the most of it. And Julian Nagelsmann wins his first piece of silverware since taking over at Bayern. As we welcome in Jürgen Klinsmann to the show. Jürgen, this was a thoroughly entertaining match, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Very entertaining match from both sides. I think, you know, a very professional win by Bayern in a very kind of, the way Lewandowski executed his two chances was just brilliant. But Dortmund came back in the second half. Brilliant goal by Marco Reus, and then they really had the opportunities. It was an open game until they made a defensive mistake, and again, Lewandowski took advantage of it. Overall, good pace in the game. Here and there, a bit feisty. Very aggressive, too, because both teams just simply don't like each other, which is a good thing. And obviously, when you see Haaland battling, you know, with the two centre-backs from Bayern Munich, Süle and Upamecano, it's just a joy to see that, you know, how he throws himself in there. And on the other side, Robert Lewandowski is just is a difference maker.
It was fun, wasn't it? It was a fun game for what is essentially you describe as a friendly.
Plastic cup, see it?
Yeah.
See it? But they must be getting fed up of Bayern Munich taking their pants down.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, we can talk about, well, they played better in the second half and they've got some good youngsters and they played some good stuff. But if you don't take your chances, I mean, I'm thinking the two great ones they had in the first half, particularly the Marco Reus one.
Yeah.
There was Erling Haaland over the top slightly later, but the Marco Reus one from the Bellingham pass, great weight to the pass. And it is a good save when he sticks his right leg out, Manuel Neuer, but you've got to clip it over him into the corner. You've got to do something. You've got to take those chances. Lewandowski would. And that's the difference. And then, you know, up the field, great cross in, fantastic run. Dead and buried, and then Dortmund are always chasing it. And just for one or two, it says, well, you know, Bayern this year might be more of a struggle, and you know, Nagelsmann, new coach in there, and they've lost some players. They've just put another marker down. I mean, it might not be the best Bayern squad of recent years, but they're not going away.
We talk a lot about the attacking prowess of Dortmund. Defensively, every single time, you just feel like they're an accident waiting to happen.
Because that's exactly what they are. If you're going to watch any team this year, watch Dortmund, because you're going to get goals, both ends. You know, as good as they are going forward, they're as bad defensively. And not just in terms of defending, as far as one-on-one defending or shape. They give the ball away so often. I mean, Bayern Munich could have had 6 or 7 easily, because the amount of mistakes they made trying to pass the ball out the back was horrendous. And the guy at full-back, Paslak,
yeah. I mean, he had a shocker.
An absolute shocker. I mean, he was just a liability. And so Bayern just always get it done.
Jürgen, obviously, as an outsider, we're looking as to reasons as to why Bayern Munich might not dominate the Bundesliga once again this season. And you look at Borussia Dortmund, obviously, as we mentioned, so much excitement going forward. They're not going to win the league if they continue to defend like this.
Yeah, very, very difficult, because the balance between the experienced older players and the younger ones might be just not be there. You know, you have extreme talented players like, obviously, we love Giovanni Reina, 18 years old, you know, and 2-3 other youngsters. But are they really there yet, you know, to carry that team? You know, you have Royce, and you have, in the back line, we're missing there Mats Hummels because of a small injury. But do they have the bench? I mean, if you look at that bench today, that's just not at the level of competing with Bayern Munich. It's just impossible, because it's a completely other level than that Bayern Munich represents. So it will be very, very difficult for Borussia Dortmund there to challenge Bayern Munich this year. Obviously, As Steve said, rightfully, you know, they can go forward, they can score goals. They have an incredible center forward with Erling Haaland. You know, Marco Reus, you know, if he shows up like he did today and it did also well in his first Bundesliga game, then it looks good. But defensively, this is very, very difficult to take because they got already conceded two goals in the first Bundesliga game, now three today. And so it's going to be difficult for Dortmund.
Jürgen, we discussed, of course, a lot the future of Erling Haaland. You agreed, basically, it's the right thing for him to do, to stay for another season, to gain more experience in front of a crowd as well. We saw, though, his frustration grow throughout this game. Would part of him not think, you know what, maybe, just maybe, I can get my dad and get Raiola to have a word with Manchester City to see maybe if we can get a deal done this summer? Because if you're City and it's Harry Kane or it's Erling Haaland, surely you're going to go with Haaland, and maybe now's the time to strike.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, I just think that for Erling, the way, you know, his game is right now, and at the age that he is, I think it would suit him well to stay another year at Borussia Dortmund. I mean, they're definitely going to fight for the Champions League spots. They're trying to challenge Bayern Munich for the title. Might be not enough quality in that squad doing so, but I think it doesn't hurt him another year in the Bundesliga, proving his point, getting more mature and confident. Because once he leaves Borussia Dortmund, no matter where he goes, he needs a lot of confidence then to succeed right away. Now, obviously, you know, if there's a choice like Manchester City and a coach like Pep Guardiola on the table, that's a different discussion to have. But I think it's the right thing for him right now, me personally, from his perspective, to stay at Borussia Dortmund.
We were talking on yesterday's show with Archie Rintott about this. Yeah. Jürgen just mentioned City and Guardiola. I mean, they have to have... The clubs out there must have an inkling that he's going to go to a certain destination.
Right.
Right, because I can't get my head around, because I actually said, look, I said to him yesterday, is all this talk now of Haaland going before the end of this transfer window gone? He went, pretty much.
Right.
Unless somebody comes in with a stupid bid. Now, what I can't get my head around, right, if that was the case, why would you go out and spend 100 million on Grealish and then try and go and spend more than that on Harry Kane when you could have taken, you know, a big chunk of that, maybe, and I'm just a couple of hundred million, and went to Dortmund and went, give us the hottest young talent.
Sure.
I'd have him over Grealish and Kane together.
You're right.
Because he's that good.
Really?
And it's a, yeah, absolutely. I mean, Harry Kane's 28 or 29, yeah, whatever he is. Erling Haaland's a youngster. So I don't understand why a club like City, who have clearly got the money, wouldn't have gone to Dortmund and gone, here's 180 or 200 million. Do you want to do this deal rather than spend on Grealish and spend on Kane? There has to be a reason. Either they didn't want to go down that route, which would surprise me, or they know that Haaland is definitely staying and he's going to go somewhere else like Real Madrid. Would you not rather do that, Stevie? Would you rather have Grealish and Kane or Haaland?
I'd have Haaland.
Would you? You'd have Haaland as well. You were saying when we were watching the game together, his head might explode before Christmas.
Yeah, and we saw a couple of times the cameras went on to him. You know, obviously they lost the goal and he was kicking the ground. And it's hard to decide whether that's passion for the moment in the game,
yeah,
or whether it's frustration. I mean, I totally agree with Jürgen from the point of view that for him to stay another year and mature and be ready to go wherever and you know, start scoring goals straight away, it does make sense. I'm not so sure come Christmas whether his head's going to explode, because he looks frustrated to me. I'm giving him a pass, saying it's desire and passion for the game, but I think I saw frustration already, and he's got 9 months to go. I don't know whether that would hurt him in the long run.
Now, no, come next year, he's got a release clause, but that's, you're leaving that open then if you,
yes,
wait.
Yes, and then other people...
Yeah, then everybody comes in and it's like the piranha,
yes,
surrounding, and you, it's a bun fight. But let's be honest, Erling Haaland has looked angry since Jan Agafyotov interviewed him.
That's what, yeah, the Jan effect.
He looked like he was going to rip Jan's head off.
But you like that.
Well, actually, Jan said to him, well, Bayern are there for the taking, and he was very media savvy about it. He wouldn't go down that road. But I agree. He kicked the ball away a little bit, and
yeah,
he'll get frustrated. I do believe another year there might be okay for him, but it's a head scratcher why I think somebody with the money hasn't said to Dortmund, come on, let's do a deal.
This, of course, was the first match for Bayern since club legend Gerd Müller passed away. And Jürgen, I know this was a player that was very close to your heart.
Yeah, Gerd Müller was the reason why I started to play soccer at the age of 8, you know, because I watched him on TV. I was 10 years old when he won the World Cup for Germany with his beautiful goal against Holland. And I, as a little kid, just ran out on the meadows or in the streets and whatever we could find and kick the ball around or kick a Coca-Cola can or whatever you kicked it those days. You always wanted to be Gerd Müller. Gerd Müller was always in my head, you know, the simplicity of his game, the person that he was. He was a totally down-to-earth person. He came from a small town between Stuttgart and Munich, and he was just our role model growing up and probably growing up forever, and meaning for decades, because what he's done, he built the FC Bayern Munich of today. Franz Beckenbauer repeats that over and over again. Without Gerd Müller, there is no FC Bayern Munich of today because of how many goals he scores, how many trophies he won them. And he was just such a wonderful ambassador and human being. When I coached Bayern Munich in 2008, 2009, I had the pleasure to. He was the assistant coach of the second team, the farm team, as it would say it here. And I walked over there every day and watched the second team train and see what youngsters are coming through. And we just stood there and had conversations. And he said, look at this little youngster there. He will be a good player one day. And I said, who is it? And he said, Thomas Müller. So I came over the next day and the next day and the next day until after 3 months, I said, no, he comes over to me now, to the first team. He's not in the second team anymore. So funny enough, it's his name. It's the same name, even if they are obviously not related. But Gerd Müller was just such a wonderful human being. And the way the club, FC Bayern, took care of him after he had so many health issues, you know, he had problems with alcohol when he was in a former NASL. When he came back to Munich, the club took him under, you know, the wings and looked after him. He went back and played tennis. He was there being an assistant coach under 19, and the second team, then the farm team, you know, and he was always then part of this club. And as long as you can think backwards and that's what they also, you know, recognize, that what everyone at Bayern Munich always says, there is no Bayern Munich of today without Gerd Müller. And there's no German football, you know, in sense of a 4-time world champion without a Gerd Müller, because he just, he kind of inspired decades of football in our country. And it's just so sad to not have him around him anymore. But it was a very, very tough battle that he fought with dementia. Very, very difficult over the last years for his family, for everyone around him, obviously for him the most. But he will always remain in our hearts.
It's a word that's being used a lot, isn't it? But this is where it really is justified. Gerd Müller, a legend of the game, passing away at the age of 75 this weekend.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Now, last night, a prominent programme in Spain said that Carlo Ancelotti wanted Cristiano Ronaldo back, that he'd had a conversation with the club to go and get him. Ancelotti then addressed that today, saying, "Cristiano is a Real Madrid legend and has all my affection and respect. I've never considered signing him. We look forward." Now, Ronaldo responded to this on Instagram, quite a long post. This is the end of it. "I'm breaking my silence now to say that I can't allow people to keep playing around with my name. I remain focused on my career and in my work, committed and prepared for all the challenges that I have to face. Everything else is just talk." Gab Marcotti is with us. Gab, first off, I thought the most interesting thing from that Instagram post from Cristiano Ronaldo was the mentions of Juventus, which was zero.
You picked up on that too. Yeah, you're not the only one. This whole thing is very odd because the guy who broke the news, which everybody later denied, is a guy named Edu Aguirre, who is extremely close to Cristiano, or certainly was in the past. He kind of looks like him, too. he cried when Cristiano left. He went to Cristiano's house, interviewed him for YouTube, whatever, did all this stuff. So he's certainly seen as somebody who's close to Cristiano. So, you know, when you have that kind of relationship, you would assume, well, if I'm going to go and report, as a journalist, I'm going to go and report this, I have Cristiano's blessing. Instead, it doesn't appear that way. Then, further complicating things, you know, you had Ancelotti coming out and denying it, and you had Georgina Rodriguez, of course, Cristiano's partner, coming out commenting on the post with just a ha 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 underneath. And you don't know how to take that. Does she think that the rumor is ridiculous? Does she think that Ancelotti's denial is ridiculous? And now you have Cristiano with this vague stuff about speculating about his future, but not really saying anything other than the fact that he's focused on working. So, honestly, like, if they wanted to clarify things, they pretty much did a rotten job.
And if I was being a cynic...
Right. No, oh, Mr. No. Craig Burley, and he's cynic in the same sense.
If I was being a cynic, I would say he's quite happy that people are talking about him again just before the end of the transfer window, because guess who we have been talking about?
Who, Craig?
Yeah. Yeah, Mr. Messi, and so I don't know.
Gab, if we were to believe that they're basically hawking him around to see if they can get a deal done, obviously going into that last year of his contract at Juventus, is there any truth in that?
Yeah, look, I mean, Juventus have come out, they've denied it officially, but, I think it's an open secret that if somebody were to come along, because, as you said, it's the last year of his contract, he's very expensive to renew. The club lost close to 300 million euros, obviously a lot of that due to COVID. So if somebody comes along and offers you the 25 million euros was the number that was being thrown around, and obviously takes his wages off your books, then all of a sudden you're in a different place. But, you know, you're not going to go and put a for sale sign on him. Equally, I don't think Cristiano's in a rush to go. He's happy where he is. And he probably fancies the idea of being a free agent next summer, and he can decide if he wants to stay or move. I think the Real Madrid angle, to me, strikes me as slightly odd, because obviously they already have a number of players up front, older players, highly paid players, and I think it's an open secret that they dream of Kylian Mbappe, and, you know, they're watching the situation evolve there with Mbappe himself approaching free agency in June. So, look, I think it's a difficult one. I think what's very clear is whoever handles Cristiano's social media account, or indeed Georgina's social media account, maybe they love sending mixed messages. Maybe they're just not very good at being extremely clear.
What do you think? Someone like City? Like, could you get Ronaldo in for a couple of years, and that's like kind of that bridge the gap until Haaland comes?
In the perfect world, that sounds like a fantastic idea.
Why not do it?
Well, I don't think Cristiano, at 36 years of age, wants to come back to the Premier League.
Why not?
Pace of the game. He's 36 years of age. He's in a place. He's in a place where the pace of the game isn't quite as quick, and it suits him. He's still a fantastic player.
He's a specimen, Steve. Look at him.
He's a specimen, but you know what? Even if you're a specimen, you lose pace. You lose balance. All these things start going when you're 36 years of age. And don't tell me that he's not in some sort of way. He knows that. It's just because he's got so much ability that he can get away with it, and he's doing it at Juventus. And so stay away from the Premier League.
Really?
Stay away from the Premier League.
Do you agree, Craig? He scored all those goals for Juve last season.
Go on, Gab.
Gab's like...
I was just going to point out, I hear this, the physicality of the Premier League, the pace of the game. I mean, first of all, as you mentioned, Dan, he is a specimen. He's big and tall. The way he scores his goals at Juve isn't by flying past defenders. It's by being really good in the air, taking a lot of shots, getting open for shots, often by just one or two steps. But beyond that, we're seeing Edinson Cavani, who's not exactly young. He's a center forward for a small club like Manchester United.
How many games has he played?
We have Jamie Vardy, who I think is what, turning 35.
How many games has he played?
He scores a ton of goals in the Premier League.
Bad example.
Jamie Vardy plays many games.
Bad example. Edinson Cavani. Seriously.
Anyway, I think this Premier League thing's over.
And how you can, and Jamie Vardy then.
How you say, I hear this all the time about the pace of the game. You can't not agree that the pace of the Premier League is way faster than other leagues in Europe. Come on.
I'm not disputing that, but I think what I am saying is the type of player that Cristiano Ronaldo is now, yes, you would have to go and change a team. If you want to have him as part of some high-pressing system where he needs to run around a lot, then obviously that would be a really, really bad fit. If you just want him to play as a center forward and as a static center forward, which is generally what he is, and you know he still has that little burst over 5 yards. If you don't ask him to run around and press too much, if there's a team that plays that way, I think he can cope very well and score a lot of goals in the Premier League as well. It's not like it's some foreign universe, which is different to the rest of the world.
Well, a guy who at his best and probably still is one of the best headers of a ball ever. And right now, probably still the best. Oh, wait a minute. City don't cross the ball into the box. So you've taken one of his opportunities away before you start. So if you want to start going around that way, let's look at it that way. Man City don't put the ball into the box.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you.
So
I agree with you. City would not be a good fit for Cristiano Ronaldo, Stevie. On that point, we agree.
Where would, though, Gab?
Premier League.
I don't
buy this Premier League. One second, Gavin. I don't buy this Premier League stuff, you know.
What stuff?
Well, this...
The pace of the game.
No, did you see...
Did you watch all the games over the weekend?
Yeah, I watched Liverpool batter Norwich. I watched Chelsea batter Crystal Palace. I watched Man United batter Leeds United.
There wasn't a game in Europe that had the pace of the games that we saw at the weekend in the Premier League. There wasn't.
Where would he fit, Gab?
All right, I mean, we're talking purely hypothetical.
Sure.
But, I think when there was talk of Edinson Cavani not extending that second year, you could have imagined him in that role, potentially. But... I think he could certainly do a job and score a lot of goals for a team that decides to make him the centerpiece. I mean, that's kind of why Juve brought back Allegri, because they hope that he can do that. That's also probably why they didn't do as well with Pirlo, who's trying to play a different style of football. But I mean, it's not like Cristiano Ronaldo is finished now and he can't go and he can't play, because you know he's a big, strong boy. He's effectively a center forward who starts from a wide position. If you build a team where you're not asking him to continually, you know, track back and whatever, I think he can more than do a job for a lot of teams. Now, would he be a good fit? I don't know. Certainly not at City, unless Pep decides to change everything. And he'd have to decide that Cristiano is worth changing everything. But he would have changed everything if Messi had been there. You know, I mean, you're not going to tell me that Messi is going to go and hunt down opposing defenders and press and run around like he's Phil Foden and Gabriel Jesus rolled into one, are you?
Just get him to PSG.
Get him to PSG. Then the whole shebang.
Get them, you might as well just give him the
that
freaking...
That would be cool.
Give him the lot. And then I might think about watching French football. Only just think about it.
That'll be it. Meanwhile, Locatelli off to Juventus, Gab. How much better does his signing make them?
Well, this deal's just about done. It's the report suggests that it's a loan with an obligation to buy next year. And because people keep asking me, why do they do that? Well, the reason they do that is purely for accounting purposes, so that you don't have to amortize the cost straight away. And I'll stop there so I don't bore Craig. But I think on the pitch, I think he's exactly what you need. You need a midfield playmaker. It's something they really haven't had since Miralem Pjanic was there. Some people might suggest that even when Pjanic was there in his final season, they didn't have that. And I think Pirlo could have used him last year. Allegri's going to use him this year. I think it was really, really important. And now you can see the pieces falling into place around him. The fact that he's a younger player as well isn't going to be at enormous wages. I think that's also important for Juve. And he has a big long-term upside.
Meanwhile, Tammy Abraham, officially a Roma player. Seems a good bit of business for certainly Chelsea. 40 million euros is what they got for him, Gab. Is he going to be a success?
Well, I'm a big Tammy Abraham fan. And I should throw in, too, that Chelsea also have the right to buy him back for 80 million if he does really, really well. which I never get to that. But and the reason I'm a big Tammy Abraham fan is that he provides you tremendous amounts of work rate up front. And he's got the speed to run behind. And he's an intelligent player and he works hard. A guy at Chelsea I know said that he was somewhere in terms of his attitude. He was somewhere in between Didier Drogba and Diego Costa, which I thought, man, that's what you want from a bruising center forward. And he has a lot of personality. And I think that's why Mourinho likes him. I think it's going to be a radical change from Roma going from Edin Dzeko, who's basically immobile, to Tammy Abraham. But I think it's going to help him. He's going to grow. And, you know, I think it's a good fit. This is a guy who scored a ton of goals. Let's not forget. For Chelsea, under Frank Lampard, until he had that drop-off in the spring of Lampard's first season. So, and then Tuchel didn't like him. And fair enough, they got different people in. But, you know, his goals-to-games ratio is good. He's been capped for England. Why not?
And he's going from the fast-paced Premier League to Italy, Steve. He's going to get 100 goals.
Well, he couldn't handle the Premier League.
Well, Lukaku did it, so why can't he?
Well, you know what? He's going to go to Roma and he's going to stand up front while Roma defend under Mourinho. And he's going to stand up there and get frustrated and get little titbits of the ball. And we'll see what happens. But it'll be interesting to see what kind of Roma side he puts out, he builds. But we saw at Tottenham how, Harry Kane did score goals. I'm not comparing the two players, I'm just comparing positions. Harry Kane scored, but you could see the frustration under the way Mourinho played. So it'll be interesting to see how Tammy Abraham copes with that type of strategy.
What's the over-under, Stevie? Where are you putting the line?
His goals he'll score more than 10.
More than 10?
Yes.
70?
No.
How many will Lukaku get at Chelsea? 30 plus.
We'll save that one. With the pace. Just to remind you, keep up to date with all the latest transfer news over on our website. Not long now until the window closes, of course, which is at the start of September.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
MLS action then continues on Wednesday. Look at that, a plethora of matches for you. It all starts with Atlanta United against Toronto FC. And then the other end of the bookend is Real Salt Lake against Houston Dynamo. All of these games available on ESPN+. It feels apt that we end today's show with some MLS action from the weekend. Jonathan Klinsmann, the star of the show, as LA Galaxy would shut out Minnesota, beating them by 1-0. And Jurgen Klinsmann is back with us. A very proud moment, I imagine, Jurgen. Not bad performance at all from Klinsmann Jr.
Yeah, absolutely. We were obviously very happy for him as a family that he finally got a chance to play and got to show his qualities. I mean, Jonathan, he came through the youth soccer ranks here in the United States in California. He played the under 18 national team, under 20, won the CONCACAF championship with the under 20s, and went to the under 20 World Cup to South Korea, and then also a couple of games for the Olympic team. And that's the path for a goalkeeper, is just to work yourself through the different stages. And he was 2 years in Berlin, 1 year in Switzerland, and then the Galaxy brought him back last summer, and Guillermo Schelotto got a couple of games, and now he was waiting for quite a while for that opportunity. And we were obviously very, very happy that he used that opportunity and made his mark.
And how were you afterwards, Jurgen? Were you congratulatory, or were you saying you should have caught those?
Oh, yeah. So, no, but the funny part was he didn't even tell me that he was starting, you know, because he didn't want to have any conversation with me prior to the game. And no, we were obviously happy for him. I mean, the tricky part for a goalkeeper, Xhaka would know the best, is obviously get your games. You need games right. to prove your point. And finally, he got a game, and hopefully he gets more games. That is really the key in his development. This is the key in his path, you know, to become a even bigger goalkeeper. He's very ambitious, but he's a gamer, and he showed that in his match day in Minnesota, and hopefully he gets more opportunities.
Did you not ever try and persuade him not to be a goalkeeper? Because surely as a parent, that is the worst position to watch your son play.
Yeah, I mean, but he was a field player until the age of 12. He was an attacking midfielder, and for whatever reason, you know, he came one day to the next and said, I want to be a goalkeeper. But because he's also played really well basketball in the school system, obviously here you grow up with several sports, and he just loved to catch balls. And he just said, you know, I just love to kind of dive around and jump up and catch the balls and do all that stuff. So he said, you do what you like the most. The school wanted to convince him to play basketball at the end of high school, which was a very good basketball high school here in Southern California. He said, no, I want to go and play soccer. And so he went 2 years to Berkeley. And after that, he went to Europe for 3 years. And now he's back here. So hopefully, you know, step by step, he reaches his goals.
Could have been worse. He could have said, I want to be a referee. It's only slightly better. Oh, dear.
Do you want to share the story of when you went to watch your son play soccer when he was young?
Our oldest, yeah. He told me and his mother not to come. And we did. And we tried to stay out the way and stay at the back out of sight. But he spotted us. And he went and stood in the corner of the pitch.
And refused to play until you went away.
Yeah, no, just refused again.
Where he gets that from.
And then he told us after, I told you not to come. He was only about 11 at the time.
Jurgen, would he play for the US or Germany if he had the choice?
No, he chose already the United States. Yeah. Oh, he grew up, he's a Californian kid. He grew up in California pretty much his entire life. Obviously, he did a couple of years overseas. He was born in Munich. He has both passports. But he wants to represent the United States. He made that often very clear. And obviously the only way to show that is if he gets games. So hopefully down the road now he gets more games and can prove his his kind of capabilities.
We'll expect you to, you know, subtle digs against Zach Steffen in the future, Jürgen, saying, no, I don't think he's quite got it. I think I know someone who'll be able to fulfill his role in the future. Jürgen, thank you very much. Congratulations to Jonathan. I think that's it, boys.
Yeah.
We're done. Thank you very much. We will be back tomorrow.
A goalie, yeah.
Sorry?
A goalie.
A goalkeeper. What are you shaking your head at?
Goalies are not all there.
They're all right at the end. Stay tuned. Extra Time is next. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Gab with us is Craig and Stevie. Craig and Stevie, did you ever ask your manager to try different formations in a match like Marco Reus asked Marco Rosa? I imagine you doing that, Stevie.
Oh, yes.
To Kenny.
Kenny, how about we go to 3-5-2? Shut up.
I was surprised, and I'm surprised this is almost made public by Rosa. Like, have you ever heard of this before?
Well, Shaori Joseph a couple of times. There was like 10, 15 minutes to go in a game and we were one behind.
Right.
And I changed it to a 3-5-2 to try and get somebody else forward. And after that, every time we were behind, we're like 20 minutes to go, shall we come running over and go, we're going 3-5-2 yet? That's the only time I've ever heard that, man. Right. I mean, nobody would have turned around to any of the managers I've ever played for and try to tell them how we should be playing. Not a chance.
Craig?
No, but...
You didn't go Jim Smith halfway through a derby game?
No, Jim, no. Wouldn't bother with Jim. He'd be having, lighting a cigar and opening a bottle of red wine at the time. Oh, sorry, there's a game going on. I remember we did it with Wim Jansen once at Celtic, our Dutch coach, but it wasn't during the game, it was after a couple of defeats. And we sat in the room and said, look, I think we should change the system.
Right.
For the senior players.
Okay.
I think this system's not... It was early in the season, it's not quite working for us. And he asked everybody, okay, he said, what would you like? And literally everybody went, I'd like this. And then he went, okay, no. he went, anything you say? And he said, yeah, I think a diamond. I think we should play straight back. And he went, okay, here's what we're doing.
Brilliant.
And it was like exactly what he was doing. So he just basically went,
yep. With Liverpool finally mostly healthy, are people sleeping on them this year because of the lack of big signings, Stevie?
Sleeping on them? What do you mean?
Well, that people aren't... I don't think anyone's picked them to win the league.
No, I don't think it's particularly to do with the fact that they haven't signed a big name. I think it's to do with the fact that you've got particularly your main player coming back from a serious injury and you're not quite sure how they're going to be defensively. I think that's why.
There hasn't been a big signing, has there? There's no one to kind of get you excited as a Liverpool fan compared to Lukaku or Grealish that we've seen other clubs.
No, but when they're all fit, they've still got a fantastic starting 11. Mm-hmm. Can that carry them through? Personally, I don't think so. But as I said, I think it's purely down to the fact that defensively, particularly with Gomez and Van Dijk, we're not sure, and that because they haven't seen Kanate yet. So we're not quite sure what we're going to get defensively.
Where's Klopp's glasses gone?
I was thinking that.
Dad, where's his glasses gone?
I was thinking that myself.
I don't know.
Everything. Did he have lasers over the summer?
Launch. I honestly, genuinely do not know.
Oh, wow. There we go. Would you ever get lasers?
Can I weigh in on that?
Can you weigh in on what, Gab? Sorry, Gab. Gab's kidding.
We're not happy.
What's wrong, Gab?
I wanted to weigh in on the sleeping on Liverpool argument because it's something Jules and I talked about on the Gab and Jules show as well.
Well, no, let's face it. You spoke about it. Jules listened.
If you look at the midfield... Thank you. No, Jules did weigh in too. No, but what struck me was if you look at the Liverpool midfield that played against Norwich... You know, obviously you're not going to win the league with those three in there, right? So you've got Henderson to come back from injury. You've got Thiago Alcantara, but, you know, he only played 20, he made 20 Premier League starts last season, only made 20 the season before at Bayern. He's just not a super durable player. And then obviously, effectively, you're signing in midfield is Fabinho because he won't be playing at the back where he spent more than half the season last year. But it's pretty thin after that. You get into Curtis Jones and Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain and Keita and all these players that Stevie loves. And, you know, Wijnaldum played every single game last season and now he's gone. I think that, for me, is the biggest question mark.
Done with Jürgen's glasses.
Where's his glasses?
Where's the glasses? You'd need big lasers for your eyesight.
What?
I know a guy that might laser them for you.
Who?
Guy at the golf club who doesn't know an uphill putt from a downhill putt.
Right, okay.
And he's an eye doctor.
Brilliant.
Slightly worrying. You know what I'm talking about? Three swings.
Oh, three swords, yeah.
Gab, do you think Real Madrid, is quite long, will be able to make some significant signings next summer with high earners like Bale, Marcelo, Isco all ending their contract in 2022? Also, Modric would likely leave and leaving a lot of room on the wage bill. Also, fans would be back at the Bernabeu.
Well, that is a long question.
Let's have a short answer.
Yeah, look, so short answer, yes, it's going to help. I think it's an open secret that Real Madrid still hope to get Kylian Mbappe, and a year from now they can get him for free if he doesn't extend his contract. And I think the idea, and this is why they hired Carlo Ancelotti, he doesn't make a fuss, he doesn't complain if he loses two center backs, gets one center back in. He's okay with that, and I think that's exactly what they're trying to do.
Last few weeks of the transfer window, Stevie, what did Spurs need to do to keep up the momentum from beating City on Sunday?
They need to find two centre-backs. Sanchez and Dyer aren't going to have 90 minutes the way they did against Manchester City every week.
Why not?
Because they've both got mistakes in them.
Oh.
So you've got the... And the goalkeeper, Lloris, has got a mistake in him. So you've got the so-called strength of your back line.
Well, they just bought a goalkeeper from Atalanta, so that's good.
Just bought a centre-half from
Atalanta.
So why didn't they
Atalanta.
Play
yeah.
Atalanta. Why wasn't they playing there?
Well, they've got to get...
No, we didn't, obviously, they didn't need them, but...
Messing them for a big team.
Listen, as good as they looked on the break going forward,
yep,
they should be worried about what they've got at the back.
Gab, as if right now, which Milan team will finish higher in Serie A?
As of right now, with the transfer window still open, I'm going to lean Milan.
Ooh. What's that mean? What does that mean?
What do you mean?
Ooh.
Well, it's
interesting considering Inter
Lukaku,
a defending champion,
Hakimi,
aren't they?
And Conte.
Selling everybody.
You lose Lukaku, Hakimi, and Conte in one go.
Yeah.
And you replace them with
Edin Dzeko,
Dumfries, Dzeko, and Simone Inzaghi. I think there's a little bit of a drop-off there. I say that with the utmost respect to Dumfries, Dzeko, and Simone Inzaghi.
Who was responsible for the cartoon strip, Gab? That was really cool.
What cartoon strip?
Oh, the Edin Dzeko presentation cartoon strip. Have you not seen it?
Oh, it's the in-house...
It was good.
No, these in-house media, they've gotten... It was cool when Roma did it 10 years ago.
No,
when
it was
they had
good.
All
I liked it.
The cool things. Now, come on, did you see Inter's one when they brought in Lukaku and they had the fake news program? It's a bit cheesy.
Oh. Alisson was in the Chelsea presentation, wasn't she? Still worked for us. Anyway, Stevie, who would you partner Van Dijk in Liverpool's defence? Konate, Matip or Gomez?
Well, I haven't seen Konate playing with Van Dijk.
Right.
So I've got to go Gomez.
Here we go then. Gab, is the idea to replace financial fair play with salary caps a real solution to tame overspending by the money-rich clubs, or is it a temporary solution to a permanent problem that we'll be forced to revisit in years to come?
Well, I don't think it's going to be a salary cap. I think it's going to be some form of luxury tax with a limit that will be based on your income. But obviously, you're still going to have the same problem if certain clubs have inflated sponsorship deals. Hypothetically, then you're going to run into an issue. But I think financial fair play achieved its goal of making European football profitable, which is what it was in the 2 years before the pandemic. Clearly, there weren't enough controls. Clearly, I don't think there was enough will to go and really enforce the situation. I think luxury caps are a way out, but I don't even want to begin to think how you're going to go and enforce those how you're going to go and decide to redistribute all the luxury tax revenue that comes in. You just hand it out to other clubs to make them more competitive, like they do in the NBA. Do you spend it on grassroots? I wouldn't want to be arguing over that money.
Jurgen Klopp had treatment on his eyes during the summer.
Yeah.
There we go.
Brave man.
Who had a better vacation, Dan or Gab? Well, I didn't have a vacation, I was working. Gab, you had a full week vacation, so you win that, definitely, don't you?
I did. I had a bit of beach, a bit of mountains, and well, I was interrupted by, thank you very much, Joan Laporta and Leo Messi, as you know. But that was pretty good. Longest vacation of my life.
Beautiful.
Well, since college.
There you go. You got any vacation coming up, Stevie?
Yep.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to Philly to babysit. How about that? Big time.
That's exciting. That's it. That brings us to the end of the show. Thank you very much for watching. We'll be back tomorrow. Be sure to join us.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at LectricEbikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.